laughter and fun in England is The Patchen Switch Show. And now, two guys who learn the hard way to look right before crossing the road. However, they always mind the gap. It's Patch and Switch.
Is this called Westminster?
We're in the city of Westminster. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was just London. I guess that's... Well, it's the neighborhood of Westminster?
Yes, or? Correct. Yes, absolutely. So okay. we're in London.
No way.
And we're actually outside the White Swan Pub.
Now, there's a little bit of history to this one because of why we chose this particular pub, because this is actually being recorded.
Yeah. We're not actually live because right.
Well,
there's issues with the Wi-Fi, right? Well, let's be honest, right?
You know, it's you're in an island, and you have so much internet bandwidth to be able to get off, and so to make sure that we actually completed a show while we're on the road, unlike the Bourbon Street incident of last time, we decided to pre-record this one,
yeah.
A little bit of flavor.
A little bit of the feel of London, as you can probably hear a lot of the folks roaming by, coming by, cabs passing by.
Just got off work, they're all headed to the pub for a pint, so we figured, hey.
You know, we're working and we're at the pub for a pint. So here we go,
Jay. Got it.
And there's a jazz band firing up, so we're even going to have more entertainment for the folks.
Nice.
That we have here.
Fantastic.
So welcome to Radar Pier Smash.
Mm-hmm. Now, we chose that name after you stormed out of the room for the last episode. I don't know if the listeners actually quite picked up on that. I know it was on the recording, but as far as why you left or not. So first of all, Switch, you got to explain yourself. What happened?
Well, you know, it was a busy morning. There was a lot going on.
There's a scheduling conflict, basically?
Yes, that's basically it.
I wasn't high enough on the priority list to be able to bump you off and whatever it is
you're
doing.
Well, no, the show is always a priority. However, there are times that in this business that things have to be juggled around, I guess.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep. So this week, we've had a busy last couple of weeks, actually.
Yep.
Having just been in New Orleans for TechEd North America. We were just over, we're now over here in the UK, we were just in York.
We just came off the train, like literally, came off the train, took one of the cabs up to the hotel,
yeah.
And then now we dropped our stuff, we got our recording gear all sorted out, now we're here recording the show at the White Swan.
Yep, absolutely. You were actually going into the story of why we chose this particular
right.
location, and then you left the listeners hanging.
That was a device I used to make sure that the listeners stay listening to
for another minute
why.
And a half.
For another minute and a half, you just gain yourselves three more minutes of audience time. So, while in York, which is an extremely old city, it's the end of one of the rail lines, about 2 hours outside of London. It's further north. This is all stuff I didn't know. But did you know, here's some trivia, did you know, because, you know, I hail from the Canadian side of the 49th parallel north of the U.S., and Toronto used to be called the City of York.
I was not aware of that.
So there's kind of a link there, you know? So anyway, we're up in the true City of York up north. And
apparently we're being hailed.
There's something going on.
Yes, absolutely. There's a guy in a wig and a red coat who is going to be hailing people.
Hang on a second.
This is awesome.
Oh, yeah! It's a town crier.
Oh, yeah!
Yes, we have a crier.
Oh, yeah!
See, we can't buy these. We can't buy this at Worcester.
Common Garden time. The Deputy Lord Mayor of Westminster.
What?
Common Garden trustees and friends.
This is fantastic. Oh, everybody needs to march to Covent Garden.
The annual rent ceremony taking place today.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go. Well, there's a ceremony that we're now standing in between that we had no idea before recording this show. So it's about to get even louder.
We'll keep it recording. We might keep this. We might have to cut it out. We'll see if it's how loud it gets. But they're about to have a procession that goes.
Yes. Yeah. Up to Covenant Garden, which is actually just up the block. You can just see it up the way. The building's just up the road there. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So anyway, you were talking about...
York. All for the point, the fact that we were on we took a limited time off after we got there, after working hours, to be able to go on to a bus tour.
Yes.
And the bus tour took us around all historic areas, and one of them that they stopped at was the most haunted pub in all of York, which is called the Black Swan.
Yes.
It just so happened that a friend of ours who had brought us up to York to do an event for him, Andrew.
Yep.
Andrew Bethany is his name?
Bethany.
Andrew Bethany. That used to be his old haunting grounds to be able to go off and have some pints.
Yeah.
But as the most haunted place in York for the pub's perspective, there's an old man with a bowler hat.
Yes.
I love the hat connection.
Absolutely.
Sits at the end of the bar. That is a ghost that apparently is cranky because no one will buy him a beer.
Yeah, I'd be cranky too.
Sounds like me in my old age.
Yeah.
There's a woman that brushes her hair looking into the fire, but you can never see her face. And there's apparently a pair of trousers that walk around on the top floor and make noise throughout the evening. But we didn't see any of those.
What's the Canadian connection that you had here?
Besides the fact that there's a city of York, which is Toronto, the old-fashioned name, it turned out that General Montcalm was defeated by the general whose childhood house this was. This was the childhood house of General Wolfe.
Okay.
And I tweeted about it, and I was dutifully corrected by a number of my Quebec friends about the fact that it was Montcalm. I spelled it wrong in my original tweets.
Yeah.
And that's the connection. So we figured, hey, we're walking around trying to find a pub to be able to have a pint at and be outside for some atmosphere. Got a little bit too much atmosphere. but we're here at the White Swan Pub.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sister one.
Absolutely, yes. The sister pub. Now, I found it fascinating when we were at the Black Swan. We went upstairs to where those pair of boots apparently haunt things.
Yeah, the trousers.
Are they trousers?
Trousers
or boots?
With boots.
Trousers with boots.
Maybe
right.
They have legs. We don't know if no one's seen them. But
you know, it was pretty impressive up there because, you know, all these old British pubs, people used to smoke a lot in them and everything else. And actually what they did is when they took the portraits down from upstairs, you can actually see kind of ghostly shadow images of these old portraits because of all the smoke that stained the wall.
Yeah.
And then there was also a pretty amazing tapestry hung that has to do with a ceremony or something of Catherine, where they actually had an image of Henry VIII sitting on his throne at the ceremony, and his footstool was the Pope. And we're being hailed again.
Okay.
So, you can't find it.
I know. I don't like. That was Alan Wyatt, the town crier. He's about to lead the procession. It might get a bit loud, but then it'll be quiet again.
And the band's about to fire up. We couldn't plan this anymore,
could we?
And you've just dumped half of your pipe down the front of you. That's actually well done there, Mr. Quinn.
The trumpet scared me. What can I say? The trumpet scared me.
All right. So
we have like a full marching band with trombones, brass, drum, tuba, sousaphone.
Yep.
And everything, all getting ready to go.
Yep. So it's going to get loud. Anyway, finishing my story.
Yes.
The tapestry, the image of King Henry sitting on his throne. His footstool? The Pope.
Did I
mention that?
You did say that already.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I finished the story.
Now, I'm going to quiz you on this one here. Talk about the technology inside that particular bar. Did you notice anything? I noticed two things.
No, I didn't. I wasn't looking at the technology. That was a fail on my part.
Well, I'm always looking for technology wherever I happen to be. All the wiring in the house, sort of technology-ish, was all stapled to the outside top corners of all the rooms to be able to have some level of power in this old house. Because the house was built in like the 1400s.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
So it's a very, very old house. And they had wireless.
Oh, really?
They had the Black Swan wireless. It was
the wireless haunted as well?
I don't know. It was a secure network. I couldn't get on it. But they had wireless inside this place. It was only B. It was not an N or a G. So they were old school.
Okay.
But they did have wireless. And it's kind of a tie back to our previous show where we talked about wireless routers.
Yes, absolutely.
I did not see what type of wireless router it was.
Yeah.
And I think, do they call it routers or routers?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It might be a router as opposed to a router.
Hey, so let's do this. Let's go ahead and pause the show here because it looks like the band's about to start right up. We'll pause the show here. We'll come right back just because I think it's going to be
very
loud, as if it's not loud enough.
We'll pick right back up again with From the Trenches.
Yes, we'll talk about From the Trenches. And we're being hailed again, so let's leave it at that. A little bit of New Orleans flair right here in London.
It sounded like it was New Orleans when they were taking off there.
And they had to pay the rent. That's what the crier was praying.
500 apples.
Five apples.
I thought it was 500.
No, five apples.
Five apples.
Five bouquet of flowers. And you saw the folks had the apples as well as the flowers. And then, of course, whatever their rent may be.
Probably some kind of tradition that they're doing or some kind of historical reference. I know we are actually one day away that we're recording this from the summer solstice. So that also might be somehow linked. I don't know. They got all sorts of traditions over here on the side of the pond.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about from the trenches.
Okay, from the trenches, from the trenches. I actually have a story. Well, you know, I was going to say, do I have a story? No, see, that's the next one. That's more beer money that I've got, which is the next episode, the next section that we do based on
the
home
next
stuff.
Segment, yeah.
So I'm going to save that particular story for the beer money. From the trenches, stories from work, support calls that we've had to deal with recently. Well, you know, I could share one that's rather interesting that actually came up as a question at the event that we came up with last night.
Okay.
And maybe you could help this particular thing out from a story perspective. This was actually by a end-user trainer individual.
Okay.
And he was talking, and we did an event last night talking about Server 2012 and Windows 8 and part of the office hours tour that we've been doing across North America. And he was asking about ways that we could go in and to help along his clients, which are typically, again, end users, to better adjust to the interfaces that exist. Because he did a big bunch of time to get the person up to speed from Windows XP to Windows 7. And you know, his question was basically, you know, how am I going to help out? Remember the name of the woman that he used? You know how you have Angie in accounting?
I always use Sally in accounting.
Sally in accounting.
But he used something very similar, which actually made me laugh.
I want to say Maggie. It was Maggie.
Yeah, it was Maggie or something. Yeah.
And so Maggie, he spent the last 6 months training Maggie on how to use Windows 7.
Yes.
And then now her next system, which probably isn't going to be in the not too distant future because she's already at 7 on the existing hardware.
Yeah.
What could she do to be able to get to know and learn and use Windows 8 better?
Uh-huh.
I have some ideas, but I thought maybe I should.
Well,
I'm making it actually work.
Kick it off, and you've got some ideas. So,
do you know why? It's a trivia question, first of all. Do you know why?
Just a lot of trivia.
Microsoft installed and created and put into every single copy of Windows 3.1 Solitaire. Or Minesweeper.
To keep me from being bored.
Well, it wasn't for the administrators to go off and hide sol.exe and had to figure out how to do that, or go into the WinAny file to be able to remove them. Remember those?
Absolutely. That's how I got my job in IT, buddy, is that I figured out how to modify
that. They weren't actually there as time wasters.
Okay.
They were there for the sole purpose, well, the dual purpose of entertaining, and the other purpose was to train people on how to use the mouse.
Well, that's really interesting.
Click and drag.
Yes.
Double click.
Yeah.
And then also right click, because you can do three different actions with that on Solitaire. And same thing with Minesweeper. Minesweeper is dexterity, and Solitaire is movement for doing different things. So that was a user experience piece that they put into Windows 3.1 and 3.1.1.
Yep.
To basically get people used to using this mouse, because prior to that, it was a industry shift that we talk about that happens every once in a while.
Yep.
This was an industry shift that happened from the DOS world of typing, you know, Shift F7 to print in WordPerfect, or F5 to do a spell check.
Right.
Oh, wait. Now I'm F5 for print. Shift F7 was a spell check. I'm trying to remember my WordPerfect 5.1 DOS commands.
Those are long lost on me, my friend. Long lost.
So they actually had those in there to teach people how to use the mouse.
That's fascinating. So is that why Taptiles exists on the
server? So Taptiles exists, I think, besides entertain, it has a triple purpose.
It has triple purpose.
There is a trifecta. The first one is entertain. The second one is to teach people how to use the touch interface. The third one is to absolutely tie up and occupy all available free time for Joey Snow. Because all I ever see you do is obsessively try to go into Taptiles because it has network connectivity for daily challenges, which you obsessively, with your OCD, have to go in and match every single time.
Absolutely. So, all right, so going back to the story and Maggie, what is your first tidbit of kind of getting Maggie comfortable and familiar with Windows 8?
Well, see, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And I actually mentioned this last night. It's a double-edged sword because as IT pros that work in technology, we are constantly in this industry because we crave change, we love challenge, but we resist change because it means we have to work harder, right?
Yeah.
So obviously the switch to a new operating system is going to have that level of new work that we have to worry about. But I would say that easing them into it to be able to just let them try. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to have a touch device to be able to use Windows 8.
Absolutely, and that's one of those things that we talk a lot about.
A lot of myths we try to simply dispel about that. However, if you do have a touch device of some kind, like a tablet, a Surface or an Asus or any one of the other tablets, RT or Intel based, doesn't really matter, you can get them used to the interface by very simply putting it in front of them. Not as their primary work system.
Right.
Just to say, hey, have you seen these tablets? Have you seen these devices? Take a look at this. Here's how you move around. Show them, don't teach them how to use it, but show them how you use it and personalize it to be able to say, look, here's how you drag stuff back and forth in the modern UI interface.
Yep.
Here's how you launch applications.
Yep.
Here's how you switch with the swipe from the sides. This is why we have the swipe from the sides for their thumbs. Like, it literally is like you could do like a 5 to 10 minute little tutorial on basic orientation of it. And then show them how to launch off some simple touch-based games. They're going to get them used to dexterity of touching the things. That would be my suggestion as the initial start. And go on faith that they aren't going to reject it.
Yeah, see, that and that's kind of one of the things. And you talk about the fact that IT resists change, yet we crave change. What I find interesting is that I think a lot of users have, and a lot of people out there, have just kind of bought into this idea that if they don't have a button in the lower left-hand part of the screen, right? I mean, let's be honest, because if you use Windows 8 for any period of time, you very quickly learn, hey, look, you know, it's pretty much the same. When you're in desktop mode, and I talk about this all the time, I actually rarely use the start screen because of how I've learned to use Windows over the years, right? So the desktop's still there. You can still give Maggie her wallpaper that she needs, right? I always, you know, Sally in accounting needs kitty cat wallpaper.
I wonder if Maggie uses wallpaper.
No, he said something along those lines, and I wish I'd actually captured that. It was actually really funny because I kind of snickered at it during the session. But, you know, the other piece now, obviously some of the UI changes and things are coming in Windows 8.1. There's plenty of blogs out there. There's plenty of videos out there you can take a look and see. And obviously, we've got a big event coming up next week, both with Build and TechEd Europe, that we'll be talking a lot more about the changes in Windows 8.1.
Absolutely.
But I agree with you completely. It's get them in front of it, get them used to it. And then also the same thing is their apps, when you're on a pro device, which you would be using in business, they're the same app.
Now, don't get them started using desktop mode with desktop mode apps in a touch environment.
I would agree with you.
You know, get them into the modern UI apps to get used to understanding how those things work.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, maybe their primary apps are not going to be there as of yet inside the store, but then it gets them into using the touch interface, understanding how to flip back and forth between things, and apps will be there eventually that you're going to want to be using.
Yep.
And then when it's like time to show them the desktop environment, okay, here's how you get into the desktop environment, and then you can choose to let go of the touch pieces and go back to a keyboard and mouse, or teach them how to use keyboard and mouse inside the modern UI environment.
Yep.
Again,
no, absolutely.
I mean, you have a good story, but it kind of ties into the home environment where you literally just set up the RT device for the very first time, configured it the correct way as an IT pro should with the proper user ID and password and had something set up for your kids, and then you just walked away.
Yeah, I left it on the counter and then came back into the house after mowing the lawn and taking care of a few things, and next thing you know,
your girls are using it.
Yeah, the girls are using it. Yeah, they're just sitting there.
And you didn't teach them how to use it.
No, absolutely not. They just kind of picked it up and went with it. So yeah.
I think we're scared that our user community is going to be absolutely abhorrently resistant to using something new in this device with, you know, due caution, and also maybe it might be warranted with previous history that you've had with your own customers, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm like, you know what? Try.
Yeah, and usually, I mean, we've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone down this route before.
Hey,
I mean, just bringing mouse in the
from
mouse.
DOS to Windows, right?
Absolutely. WordPerfect into, you know, a GUI version like we had with Office, right?
Yep.
And that transition. And you know, I always kind of bring this up. I talk about, hey, remember in 1995 when Microsoft got the Rolling Stones to basically introduce this button called the Start button?
Yeah.
And there was... Granted, we didn't have the blogosphere and social media and all the other things that exist today, but we went from having all of your icons on a single screen down to that little start menu, and I just find it a little bit ironic that we're back at that.
Going back to your icons.
It's kind of that whole rotation thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, virtualization isn't anything new. We've had it in mainframes for a long period of time, and then we kind of went away and went to that kind of more distributed computing model. Well, now you're back at virtualization, which has been going on for ages and ages. Anyway, it's a cyclical thing. And I think I'm in complete agreement with you. I think that our users are going to pick up on it. And that was really quite an interesting question. And it actually spurred some discussion.
Oh, lots of discussion.
Among that. And then also after the event, I noticed three or four folks were sitting around kind of talking about how they've kind of gotten around it with their users.
Yep. And just to kind of close off this one little point from my story from the trenches was, as well, it's like we talked to a lot of guys and gals that work in IT that have tried Windows 8, and then they try to make it look like the previous because they're resistant to change. And they go off and they use a variety of different methods to be able to do it. It's like, you know what, guys, just jump in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get used to it. Try not to go off and defeat the whole purpose of it. Try to get used to it. And then next thing you know, you'll be comfortable with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
there are definitely control and changes coming with 8.1.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But see, the idea behind is to move to this more modern style because we're dealing, you know, with this change. You know, this idea, this concept of consumerization, as again, for the second time, you've managed to
There's a hole in this glass or something. I don't know what it is. It's like three times I've spilled my beverage.
Yeah, exactly.
down the front of my shirt.
How much have you actually consumed versus spilling?
No, that's not for the recording. We're not going to be talking about that at all.
But anyway, you've got this transition. You've got new interfaces with touch. And then you've got this concept of having devices.
Yep.
Whether they're corporate-owned or personal-owned, and crossing and moving across and having a consistent experience, which is really kind of the idea behind the modern UI and Windows.
And the biggest thing that I just will say from the 8.1, the only thing I know about it, again, the big announcements are coming out within a week or so, that we saw at the keynote in Tech in North America.
Yeah.
That's the biggest ask that we've heard during our tour, is the ability to control what the start screen looks like with the placement of the apps. And that's now going to be possible with a little bit of PowerShell to be able to extract and create XML, and then the ability to simply use group policy to be able to enforce that on people. That's one of the biggest apps. But there's, you know, a lot more configuration and other changes that are coming in, but we'll have to wait and see until after build and after Tech Ed Europe to be able to find out what all that is.
Yep, so stay tuned. Also, just in case you've been living under a rock, or like Producer Boy. Have you seen Producer Boy?
Well, we started off at the train station at Vic Station, and he came up with the bright idea of, let's go and stop off at every single pub and have a pint.
Yeah.
And then by the time we get to the hotel, then we could go off and record the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we lost him at pub number 6.
Yeah, we haven't really seen Producer Boy since.
We don't know where he is. So you know what, Mr. Producer, if you're around or you're listening to this one here,
we missed you.
We missed you, and we're going to be withholding your payment of 83 cents for this particular show.
Yeah.
And we'll have
What's the conversion? Isn't that like £1.20 now or something?
You know, I'm looking at the change I've got right here in my hand. Yeah. I don't even know if I have enough to pay him if he actually shows up. So. I've got £3. So that's what? That's $1?
That's way overpaid.
That's $1.380 or something?
I don't know. I don't do conversion rates. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of money, since you have it in your hand, and then, of course, speaking of beer, because you managed to dump it down the front of yourself several times, you notice that I'm actually...
Still clean.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's because you're not consuming anything right now.
Anyway.
Let's talk about beer money.
Beer money. Beer money. Things that you've purchased. Purchase.
Purchase is next. Beer money is your home support story. And then
Geek Tech is the purchase. The beer money pays for the Geek Tech.
Well, that does.
I get confused. What do you want from me? I'm still jet lagged. All right.
I have another story for you, but I don't know if you have one in mind you want to think of.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. This one's probably quick and easy for you. Have a mouthful of your beverage.
Yep. It's a great porter, by the way.
I love those calves. I got to say.
All right. Score. I love get those back calves. On track.
Sorry. Bright light. next one is my wife. She said to me, just as I was getting ready to leave on the weekend, can you look at my laptop because there's some new stuff on it that I don't know where it came from.
Uh-oh.
And we do have a policy in our house where she has administrative access to her machine because it is her machine.
Yeah.
If I touch or do anything or change configuration on her machine, I am in trouble. I have my account on the machine.
Are you English?
Yes.
Leicester Square?
You know the easiest direction to get there?
Just down to the end of the street, make a right, quick left, and you're there.
5 minutes.
Not even that. Two or three.
Two,
three, yes.
Two, three,
yep. Cheers.
You gotta love it. We're giving directions and we're tourists.
Yes, I know it.
Fantastic. Continue on.
So I have an account. She has an account, and then we have an account for each of the kids.
Right.
Each kid has their own account.
Okay.
They also have live IDs associated with those accounts.
Yeah.
That they're child accounts under mine.
Correct.
Because they're underage. They're standard accounts.
Right.
Because I don't want to have them going off and installing stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
They still have the right to go off and install toolbars. Or somehow they figured out what my wife's password is. Don't know mine. And they were, or maybe they were using my wife's account to surf at the time.
Yeah.
And they installed some kind of game, and the game had toolbars, and there was about 8 different programs that were magically installed on her system. Now, using Process Explorer and also auto runs and stuff like that from the good old sysinternal tools, I was able to figure out what was there. It was not malware, but it was simply what I would call adware, bugware, whatever the hell it is where. And I managed to remove it all. But toolbars.
Yeah, toolbars.
Do you have any suggestions on that? Like, you know, it's okay, I'm sure everyone's faced with this, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This wasn't as bad as of a case as a malware infestation. This
no,
was
right.
Simply, I caught it early. I sat down and had a chat with all the kids to let them know they're not allowed to do this, but somehow.
You know, I think the first thing, and I've actually run into this where I've done installations, and, you know, I'm notorious for just clicking boxes.
You're a click, click, click guy?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't read those EULAs?
Yeah. Well, you know, I get through the first 300 pages, and then I just have to move on.
Yeah,
right?
I refer to my legal team.
Exactly. You have a legal team?
We'll talk later.
Uh-oh. This could be trouble. All right, so anyway, the first thing is, installations, and particularly installations of applications that you know, right, because you've used them forever. A lot of them now are kind of in cooperation with some of these toolbars, right?
Yep.
You get these various website toolbars that kind of go along with it.
Change your
and
homepage,
sometimes
change your default
there's
engine.
A little tick box that says, I agree, and what you're agreeing to, you've already agreed to the initial installation, you're agreeing to install a toolbar or some other piece of software there. So my first suggestion is don't be me.
Just slow down.
Slow down a little bit and read the options. And I know it's hard because I've installed, you know, these particular pieces of software, you know, easily 50 times.
Yeah.
Over the lifespan of me building machines, rebuilding machines, et cetera, getting new ones. So that's the first step. Now, how did you actually go about? Did you just basically go in and start removing the toolbars through add remove programs, or what were you doing?
So I started with add remove programs.
Yeah.
Got rid of them all, and they all popped up web pages asking why I was doing it, and you know I made sure I read everything and hit the proper close button, not the close buttons that they drew on the page.
Yes.
Which is a nice little sneaky trick. So I got rid of all those, and then I removed all the offensive programs that I saw inside the add remove programs, sorted by date, and it all happened to occur in one day. So I got rid of those. And then I actually used a tool that I like a lot, which is a free tool to use, and I recommend this tool to a lot of my friends because it's free, is PCDecrapifier.com.
PCDecrapifier? That's a brilliant name.
Have you heard of that one before?
No, I haven't heard of
every single new system that my friends used to buy, I would always direct them to go off to PCDecrapifier.com. And it goes through, like an antivirus program, and basically remove all the little tiny pieces of software that are on systems that don't provide added value, potentially, but provides added revenue. And if you choose to keep them, you can.
Yeah.
And if you choose not to remove them, then they at least have one nice interface to be able to remove them all, which is quite nice. And they were all gone.
Interface to remove them all.
Yes. So cleaned up, all done, rebooted. Did my latest security update through Windows Update because it was getting close to Tuesday anyway, and everything's been fine so far.
Excellent, excellent. That's a good story from the trench. Story from the trench. You know,
and everyone does it, man. That was actually
that's beer money.
Beer
yeah,
money.
That's a beer money story. And
cheers.
Everybody
beer
runs
money.
Into it. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Cheers.
We'll
beer money.
Do that again. There
yeah,
we go. Hey, look, the glasses sound a lot less full now.
You got it.
So only I'm not wearing half the mic. All right. So
now
we've got,
it's Geek Tech.
Now let's talk Geek Tech. Now this week has actually been a fantastic week for me in terms of geek technology, but also has been a challenge given the fact that we've got travel and all those things going on. Now, I happen to have come up on a PC refresh, so I got a new PC for work.
I don't want to talk about the PC refresh
because I'm upset
about the PC refresh at work.
Why are you upset?
We ordered at the exact same time. They were placed at the exact same time by the administrative assistant that was looking after the bulk order that had to happen.
Yeah.
And whose came in first?
Mine.
By how much?
Oh, by a good week.
A good week and change. So you've already had your geek time with your new device.
Sure, absolutely.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
And then I was teased because they said, oh, another one came in. I'll just cross the name off and put your name on it. You can have it because you're leaving for Europe. I go downstairs. It's the wrong one.
Oh.
It was the X1 Carbon. Not the Asus Touch UX31 or whatever
UX31A,
it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that one there. So I said, I'm sorry, I'll wait. But you
got to use it. I got my new one.
You can cut bread with the damn thing.
Yes, it's absolutely, it's awesome, and the battery life is amazing, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I got a new laptop, got it all configured. For the first time, actually, I didn't rebuild my own image. I'm actually using the IT image of
the official one.
Yes, absolutely.
Created with MDoc.
Absolutely, and I migrated all my user settings using USMT.
Ooh, that's an extra bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, and it's great because there's just a little app that our company has built, right? And you double-click the app and go into extras, and you click, okay, migrate my stuff, and it migrates my stuff. I used an external hard drive to move all my stuff. Got it all configured, ready to go. And then I went out and I bought, and you've had one of these for a while, but I went down to my favorite electronics geek store just south of Seattle.
Yep.
And purchased one of these Monster To Go 4 outlet power strips.
Yep.
Now, here's the one thing I wasn't paying attention to when I purchased this.
What?
It's a three-prong.
Yeah, it's ground.
Has a ground on it.
Of course it does.
Yes, absolutely.
It's important to have ground. You got electronics plugged into there, dude.
Yes, I get it. I get it. But see, my power adapter for the new laptop, my charger for my phone, the chargers for the Surface,
yeah,
they're two-prong.
Yeah.
Right? So the adapters that I had to go to Europe and translate to crazy Europe power.
Oh, but it's Europe and UK.
And
two
as well as the UK, right, with the crazy UK power.
Yeah.
I noticed that the ones that I had actually were not grounded. I had one that was grounded, but the thing is like this big brick of a thing, and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
very difficult to kind of move around. We've actually had to walk from train stations to our hotels, and we're walking through subway stations to the train station, so we're dragging bags. So obviously trying to keep things light and simple has been important. So for me, I had to go out and purchase a new set of adapters.
Right.
At least a new adapter for the UK. I actually
right,
do have a three-prong adapter for the crazy European power.
Okay.
So that was my purchase. And then I did get one other thing. I finally broke down, and I actually got a Type keyboard for the Surface.
Okay.
Now, I love the touch cover.
Yep.
Absolutely love it. It took me a little getting used to, right?
Because you got a big set of mitts on those hands.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. But once you get used to it and you don't try to kill the keyboard every time you're trying to type on it, I've actually found that I'm typing probably as fast as I would normally type.
Okay.
And yeah, occasionally, it's funny, reading through some of the forums, people are like, oh, I have all these typos in there and everything. I haven't noticed it because I'm such a bad typer. I typo anything anyway. It, that is assuming that I actually can spell a word
yeah,
correctly.
Well, that's
why
you got red squiggly lines for anyway. Right?
Exactly. But we're actually going to be doing some sessions at TechEd Europe.
Yep.
And I didn't want to be up there typing any type of scripting or anything from my Surface Pro and totally mess it up. I mean, I'd mess it up as it is. So
mm-hmm,
I went ahead and got the type cover. And yeah, it's brilliant. You know what? I can't pick a favorite.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me. I can't pick a favorite. So that's my geek tech.
Good geek tech. I will have an anti-geek tech piece since you're talking about power, because I also had to buy adapters
yeah,
to be able to make sure I came over here, mainly because
sure,
I was late leaving. You were waiting for me in the car when you came to come pick me up to go to the airport.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that, but technically I wasn't late. You were early, and you made me feel like I was late because I still had 5 minutes. But anyway, the
car was there, dude. The car was there.
I used to have this round, I would say it's about the size of half of a pint glass. Most people can picture what a pint glass looks like.
Yeah.
The size of half the pint glass, and it was actually a voltage converter as well as an adapter.
Which is something important to notice because
sometimes the bricks, you have to look at the bottom of your power brick to see if
yeah,
it will support the proper voltage.
Right, so 110 is in North America,
right,
and then you've got
220
up to
or 240
or
something like that, right?
In Europe and the UK. Yeah.
So the issue that I had is the fact that that particular one was left behind, so I had to buy a new one. But even with the one that I had when I bought it, actually I bought it to go to Australia. And the issue that I had is that, I didn't know this, there's a little tiny 1 cent fuse inside of it.
Oh, really?
It's a little teeny, it's like the size of a grain of rice. And it becomes completely useless when you blow that fuse.
Yes.
And you have to make sure that you are aware that when you open up the packaging, they provide you with 5 more fuses that you're supposed to bring with you.
Instead of throwing them away.
Right, like I did. So that power adapter, I'm never going to use again anyway, but it's
yeah,
back at my house.
Yeah.
So just be careful. If you're looking at a voltage converter, you should make sure you have the right one.
Yeah.
Sometimes hotels have them, sometimes they don't. These are mostly all tips and tricks for our friends that are from North America traveling
here.
But I
mean, it's geek tech because we carry so much stuff now, and
totally.
I think anybody does. Even
I didn't know before doing international travel that those wall warts, those power bricks, are able to handle multiple voltages.
Yeah,
for the most part.
For the most part.
Do.
For the most part. You gotta watch it. All right, so
we're down to the last section now, man.
We're down to the last section. We got typically naming the next show, but see,
we still have more time though. Like I'm looking at the clock on this recorder right now because again, we're not live. If you try to call in,
oh, that's true. Yeah,
if you try to call in, we're sorry, we're not there. But you know what? We actually are going to try. Well, I should have said at the very beginning. I should maybe edit this in the beginning or something like that. But we're going to try to be on the chat.
Yeah.
Because the chat is less bandwidth intensive.
Yeah.
So while you're listening to this, if you're interacting with us right now, that's really us. That's not a recording of people interacting with you in the chat room.
It's not really us?
No, it is us.
Oh, okay.
The problem is that we still have some time left, and interacting-wise, if you try to call in with us, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to hear us or do anything with us. If you wanted to, you could Skype us, in case you don't know. You can actually find us on Skype.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, our ID is live:patchandswitch, because we're using the Microsoft account with the Skype account.
Yes.
And if you try to friend us or be your contact, we will absolutely accept you, because
sure.
We're very friendly folks.
Absolutely.
We will allow you, if you want to be able to leave a recording of a message for us, and we can answer it the next show. That's new technology.
That's brilliant new technology.
So people could actually
Skype
leave us questions.
And record your question for the next Patch and Switch episode, which, if I'm not mistaken,
Are you around for it?
I might actually be remote for that.
Oh, so a
we'll
first remote show. This is our first recorded show.
Yeah.
And then we could do a remote show. So I'll be local, because I'll be the guy with the Skype.
Yeah.
And then you'll be calling in.
I may be calling in. We'll have to see.
You're going
to
call in with a link?
Calendar. You know what? Yes, absolutely, because of sound quality.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
Absolutely good. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so... I have a challenge.
What?
So we name the show, right?
Right.
At the end of this. I actually love the different names of pubs that we've passed, right?
Yeah.
So we've gone through, you know, the city of York. We've been in London for a little bit now and kind of walking around. The way they name pubs, right? I mean, there was something like the Slug and the Lettuce or something. I think that's a restaurant, which I've actually
I'd eat there.
I'm wondering.
And I'm looking around to see how many names of pubs we have down the street.
We can actually do one of a couple of things.
What?
We could name the next show as if it were a pub, or we just come up with a pub name.
Is it three words?
The official Patch and Switch pub name. Yeah, it typically is going to be three-ish words.
Okay, so I think this is something that we should be asking on the Twitters.
Yeah.
As possible suggestions. I don't know how we can do that.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to pitch a name.
The whole name? All three?
Yeah, I'm going to do the whole thing.
Okay.
This is my idea. The Golden Falafel.
It doesn't have anything to do with the pub. I was like going to say
the pub names
Old Mare's Head or something like that.
Oh, that one's pretty good.
You know?
That one's pretty good.
Or, you know...
The Oldie Green Hattie.
You know, we actually were across the street from a hat shop, I noticed, on the way up.
Yes, I saw
it's
that.
It's called Benito's Hat Shop.
Yes.
That's a Mexican kitchen.
It's called Benito's Hat. They serve burritos and margaritas.
I guess, yeah. Why would they have that? Further down the lane, we have Hats and Caps.
Hats and Caps.
The green hat's going to have to visit there. So, you want to do the Golden Burrito? Golden Burrito? No.
Golden.
That's a Mexican influence. The Golden Falafel?
The Old Green Hat. I don't know. I just think it would be fun, maybe, or maybe what we can do is issue the challenge.
Okay, yes. We'll announce the winner next week.
Yeah.
So
actually, you know what? Let's do this. We'll announce the winner, and next week's show will be named after the pub.
Okay, it's not next week. You want to do one next week or the week after?
The show after.
Is that July 4th?
No, I think that's going to be the next show.
Are we doing a show every week or every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
Do we have a device that would be able to tell us what
yes,
the
date is? Yes, every
2 weeks.
And so it's going to be right around I think it's actually after the 4th of July.
Is it?
Yeah,
the 5th?
That's why I would be remote.
Okay.
As I'm going to be...
on vacation?
No, I'm like, actually going to be down at the Worldwide Partner Conference down in Houston, Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Yes,
the 5th. Yeah. Totally, the 5th.
Isn't that a holiday weekend?
It's a Thursday is July 4th.
Yes.
Friday's the 5th.
Which
we
is
have
the
to
holiday.
Work that day.
No, the holiday...
The holiday is the 4th?
The holiday is the 4th.
So you have to work on Friday. So you must be at work on Friday.
I will not be at work.
Okay.
We'll
announce on the 5th or something to that effect.
And then the show following...
Okay.
Which is... The show following, which would be 2 weeks following that, is... We'll just name the show.
Okay.
So we only have to come up with a name.
So ways people can get hold of us. They can tweet their suggestions for names.
How do you tweet us?
You tweet us at @patchandswitch. You can also email us.
Oh?
You can email us, patchandswitch@outlook.com.
Okay.
Or you can email us at whatever the hell you want at patchandswitch.com, and that just simply redirects to patchandswitch.com. Sorry, or patchandswitch@outlook.com. I got a redirector going on there.
Oh, nice.
For the site.
Nice.
And if you wanted to, again, ask us questions or comment or be a call-in but not be live, you can also send us an audio recording to patchandswitch@outlook.com
Absolutely.
Those are two different options. There's like 4 different options you get in there. Help us name the show, possibly name the inaugural pub that we'll have to open if we ever retire from IT for that. And I kind of wish we had some of that band music playing us out to be able to go out.
Yeah, I know, right? But first, we have to actually name the next show.
Okay.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. You've got to come up with...
You already did this already? I'm looking around for names.
You're looking around for stuff. You're looking around.
Yeah.
He's looking.
You got a name yet?
Oh, I've got the name, but you're just wandering around the street. Rick did not look right before he stepped out into the road.
I almost got hit by a car there.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Shout it out.
Bedfordbury. That's one word.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Bedfordbury. Look at the sign right there. City of Westminster. Bedfordbury.
Okay.
That's one word.
Okay. Snacks.
Snacks?
Snacks.
Okay. Bedfordbury Snacks Freehouse.
Freehouse. Okay.
Freehouse. I believe that means it's an establishment that you're allowed to drink in, but not for free.
Right.
It's a freehouse.
But it has snacks.
And it's on Bedfordbury.
Okay, there you go.
With that, my friend, I would say let's do one last cheers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been great being here.
Absolutely.
First remote record show. It was recorded, though. It wasn't live. Just
no,
for safety, make sure it happens.
Yeah.
While in London.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
The cheers. We'll see you guys next week, or in 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
See you in the next episode. Okay.